Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see everybody today, just greeting one another and getting to know one another with the increased freedom that we've got at the moment. So it's just lovely to have you with us today. Whether you're here in person or online, a warm welcome. If you're here in person, then hopefully you've had one of these cards as you came in, which tells us all about our, well, don't tell us all about it. It's just a bit of an introduction to our new series. And Dave will be, who's preaching for us later, will be introducing a bit more about it. We've got here, so that's just a little bit of a preview. And we're going to be having a new series now on the cultivating the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's all about growing as Christians and looking at the fruit that the Holy Spirit grows in us. If you're online, then do pick up one of these cards next time you're here at the church building, or we could arrange to have one sent to you if you're not able to get in, so that you too can have one of these prayer cards to use for your daily prayer times. My name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson, and I'm on the retired clergy team here at St. Andrew's and All Saints, and it's a real pleasure and a privilege to be with you here today. Would you like to stand as we begin our worship together? And we're going to say our responses so that I say the words in gold and we all together say the words in white. Open our eyes to what we need to see. Open our ears to what we need to hear. Open our minds to what we need to know. Open our hearts to what we need to hear. Open our hands to what we need to give. And above all else, open our lives to your amazing transforming power through the work of your Holy Spirit amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 89 says this, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make his faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen ones. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can compare to the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. And so as we rejoice together, I'm going to hand over to Debbie for this first song, which just fits in our new series.
So this microphone has got a mind of its own, by the way. So if I'm going like this as it dips down, you'll know why. Anyway, this song is an action song. So, and this is going to involve everybody, not just our young people and our children. I hope you're all going to follow me in the actions. And we've done it before, but years ago, and it's called the Holy Spirit song. And it's basically asking the Holy Spirit to fill us with his power, to send his fire on us, to talk to us, to guide our lives, to bring us healing and to set us free. We just thought this song fits in so well with the fact that we're going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And so we really pray for the Holy Spirit to bring us all that he has for us. So all you have to do is follow me. It's easy. Honestly, it's really, really easy. It's self-explanatory. So are you ready? We've got to have everybody standing. Or you can't do the actions while you're sitting. Except for Ian, of course.
We're going to have communion all together first today before the children go out. And it looks like I've still got a bit of interference. We're having a bit of trouble with this mic at the moment. Would you rather that I transfer to the other mic, Derek?
People can hear me a bit more easily now. Good. Okay. Thank you. So we're going to move into a time of quiet before we come to communion together. And then we'll go into our groups later on today. So let's just take a few moments to reflect. In a world of noise, a place of silence can be hard to find. But we can find quietness if we seek it. And here we can discover the inner stillness of the Holy Spirit that will help us to be aware of God. Where is your quiet place? It might be in your room or at a grandparent's house. Or in your garden, or on a favourite park bench. Maybe you can find inner quiet as you ride your bike, or go high on a swing. Where is God? God is where you are. Be still then, and know that God is here. As we sit together in God's presence, a prayer to say we're sorry. Dear God, I really messed up yesterday. Please help me to say sorry. Please help me to forgive others and to forgive myself. Help me now to start again, everything new, with your love flowing over me as I try to live for you. God promises, you know, that if we are truly sorry, He forgives us because Jesus has taken our punishment. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and sacrifice. Thank you for the gift of peace from your Holy Spirit, the one who lives within us. Amen. So as God's forgiven people, let's share that peace with one another, shall we? As we say hello, just greet somebody around you, maybe somebody you've not met before, maybe it's someone who you see every week here. But just say hello to somebody around you and greet them. And as we know that we are God's family together and that God loves each one of us, let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Can I invite you to stand? The Lord is here. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is always right to give you thanks, God our Creator, loving and faithful, holy and strong. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. He is the Lord, the Lamb of God, who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death. And by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. You send your Holy Spirit to bring new life to the world and clothe us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread and he thanked you. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new promise of God's unfailing love. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ will come again. Jesus Christ will come again. Father, as we bring this bread and wine and remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that we who share these gifts may be fed by Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus as we wait for his coming in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this wine, this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Let's pray this prayer together, shall we? Before we go to our groups, let's pray this prayer together. Living God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. Open the eyes of our faith this morning, so that whatever group we are in today, we may get to know Jesus better by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as children and young people go to their special groups outside, Barry is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Our prayers today are going to be based on the new theme this season, which is Fruits of the Spirit, and as they apply to our mission partners, and then we'll pray for Ukraine. So let us pray. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit expressed as love for each of our mission partners, driven by love to pour their lives into loving their neighbours. Fill them afresh, we pray, with your Holy Spirit. We pray for joy for Ben and Katie, back in Malvern now for 3 months' rest and recuperation. We pray that the joy they have for you might be rekindled in their time of rest. We pray for peace for Terry English and his family, working so hard in the Czech Republic, making their church, as it should be, a haven for peace for the marginalized, the migrant, the refugee. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit expressed as patience for the Fletcher family, living alongside some of the poorest and most destitute people in Bangkok. Patience and patient as they seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus in their community. We pray for kindness for Nick Russell. What a gentleman he is, Father, and resolute in showing kindness to the many challenging young people living in South London and we pray for the work in the Greenwich Centre of Mission. We pray for generosity for the Open Doors organisation, with over 360 million Christians suffering persecution and discrimination. We pray for the generous teams in Open Doors, bringing resources and hope. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit expressed as faithfulness in George and those at Masalata College in Dodoma, and particularly for our two sponsored students, Paul and John. May you grant them the spirit of faithfulness to complete their studies and become advocates of you, Jesus. And we pray for gentleness for Mike Bassous, working tirelessly for the Bible Society in Lebanon. We pray blessing on his work there. And for the fruit expressed of self-control in us, Lord, we pray that we might be seen as your people, set aside for you, Lord God, set aside from anger, from greed, from malicious thoughts or slanderous deeds. Protect us, we pray, from evil. And we pray these into Ukraine, the situation there, these fruits of the Spirit. We pray for love in the hearts of all involved. We pray for a time when joy might again be a prevailing emotion in that war-torn country. And of course, we pray for the spirit of peace. We pray for patience for the long, long suffering innocent civilians. And we pray for those who are already showing such kindness towards those in need, both in Ukraine and the generous hearts, the generosity of those across Europe who are acting as hosts, raising funds, collecting clothing and other necessities for those in need. And we pray for the millions in Ukraine who have the spirit of faith in your power, your love, and your ultimate control. Holy Spirit, giver of these gifts, Lord God, we offer you our prayers this morning in the name of Jesus, our King of Peace. Amen.
Can I invite you to stand now as we together join in these next songs?
You're all we need. God's really at work around here.
So I'd like to sit down. We're just going to hear a little bit more about what God's been doing this week. And the first thing is that we have wonderful news about Kingdom Giving Month. And I could see at the beginning of this service that some of the contributions were still coming in. Some of the pledges to give were still coming in, so it's not too late. Dave's going to say a bit more about it later, but we should find, I'm waiting for the slide to come up, but it's obviously, yes, okay, sorry. But it is just such good news. I couldn't keep it from you. So, Dave will say a bit more about that shortly. The Week of Guided Prayer. Week of Guided Prayer. Here we are. Week of Guided Prayer. There are still a few places left. So don't miss out if that's something that God's laid on your heart to do this week.
Today or tomorrow,
Dave says. Last chance. And we've got starting tomorrow. And this is such a great course. I mean, it's a way of sharing the Christian faith and taking people through that is sort of, you know, just way back from Alpha, which I love Alpha, but Alpha assumes quite a bit of knowledge about the Christian faith before you even get started, whereas this one doesn't. And it's just fantastic for people to talk about spiritual things. If you'd like to know how you could take your friends through it, then come along to this course as well, because that'll show you how to use the material to the best advantage. And join in that group. More details are on the mailing and on the website. And do remember about signing up for lunch. It's the sort of thing, if you're like me, that you think about it when you've left the building. You think, oh, I forgot to sign up. Do remember to sign up for lunch to host or to go somewhere else for us to all to get to know one another better, particularly across different congregations that we have here. It's a really good chance to meet some other people. There's the Week of Prayer for our world coming up, Thy Kingdom Come Prayer Week, which is always so fantastic. If you'd like to be involved with that, setting up prayer stations and so on, do please contact Rachel Simpson. You might be a new person here. Sorry, Helen Simpson, sorry. So sorry, should have remembered it's Helen. There's so many Helens around here, I should have remembered it's another Helen. Helen Simpson is the person who is the go-to person. You might be somebody who's new here, and it occurred to me that a number of people might have been involved in one of these setting up prayer stations in another church that you've been to. So do come and share your ideas and help in the running of this prayer week, which is so significant, connecting with other churches across the world, as well as in this country. If you are not yet connected to our weekly mailing, can I encourage you to go to the website and to click on this icon, and there'll be details about how you can receive it every week. And finally, I published the banns of marriage between Ben Wickett of this parish and Jessica Louise Hassel of this parish. This is for the second time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it. So let's just pray, shall we, for Ben and Jessica in this time. Lord of love, we pray for Ben and for Jessica. Be with them in all their preparations and on their wedding day. Give them your love in their hearts, the fruits of your Holy Spirit throughout their married life together, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we have our Bible reading. So if you'd like to find a Bible in the chairs, there's some at the back of the chairs, and look up these passages as Val comes to bring us the reading.
The first reading is from the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The second reading is from the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I bring you greetings from All Saints, where I've left the service halfway through. They were on good form, though. I bring you greetings from St. Barnabas in Bearwood, where I was on Thursday night to see Peter's licensing, and Peter should be just about coming to the end of his first ever service down there. You can go and watch it on YouTube later if you've got the YouTube link. But don't watch it too often, because you need to keep watching ours. And just to update you, as Helen said, Kingdom Giving Month. We are just bowled over by the response we've had. And we just want to say thank you so much to everybody who has generously given, or, you know, generously said they will maintain their giving. You know, in these current climate, maintaining your giving is amazing. And we just want to thank you to everybody who has responded. We have about £35,000 of regular giving promised, increased from what it was. You know, we said we'd need somewhere between 30 and 44, depending on who we appoint. God knows what we need. The latest from Megan's Kitchen, as of 45 minutes ago, was that Megan's Kitchen is now up to 30,000, which is great. And we've had another couple of sources of income that have come in this week that PCCs need to talk about how we distribute it as well. God is providing, and it's amazing. And we want to say thank you. If you still haven't replied, and you don't want to miss out on the joy of contributing to this. So, you know, keep it coming. The more we have, the more we can give away to Terry English and the refugee work there with him. But adverts will be going out tomorrow or Tuesday, depending on when I can get them finalised. But more than anything now, we pray. We thank God and we pray that as the adverts go out, that the right people will be called to come and join us at the right time. But really exciting, and thank you so much for being the amazing church that you are, and we give glory to God for his provision. So we're starting a new sermon series today, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit, which will go on towards till about the middle of July. And I want to start today by talking about something I did in January. So in January, I underwent some intense coaching. I did 15 hours of coaching and did something called a life intensive. And it was actually, my coach was actually Diana Hunt's nephew, who I had been at Cypher Camp with 25 years ago. And the lovely thing was, I kept hearing the odd phrase, which I recognised when he talked about. And then a few minutes later, he would say, Uncle Paul taught me that. Paul Hunt, if you don't know, is one of our retired clergy up at All Saints, who's an amazing guy who's taught me an awful lot too. But during that coaching, I was asked some really profound questions, and I'm going to share some of them with you today. Here's the first one. In 30 years' time, what's the story you want people to tell about your relationship with God, with your spouse, with your children, with your wider family and friends, and a whole load more as well? And what are you going to do now to live out, make sure that story is lived out? That's a profound question. That struck me to the heart. And one thing that particularly has changed because of that is that when I thought, what's the story my daughter's going to tell about me in 30 years' time? It's going to be that he was the dad who didn't let me have a dog. So I've given in. No, I've graciously and actually lovingly decided I want my daughter to have the desires of her heart. Just like actually our father wants us to have the desires of our heart. But, you know, those questions were really profound to me. Here's another question. What are your top three life values? So I was given a whole list of all those words you can see behind and told, choose your top 10 words that are most important to you and then get them down to three. What are those values which you more than anything want to live by for you, who God's created you to be? And I did that and I came up with three, which were something like purpose, make a difference, transformation, something like that, which I looked at and actually I wasn't totally comfortable with because I thought, you know, they're quite driven words and that's something I'm trying to battle against. And I went back to Stu, my coach, and he said, take it to God and pray and ask God to show you what three values he wants you to hold to. And after doing that, you know, this is what I came up with. You won't have a chance to read all of it. And the bottom one, you know, about kingdom transformation, which if you like is, you know, what our church vision here is all about. Second one was family. And I felt God, as I prayed through that, say to me, your mission to your family, ministry to your family is more important to me than your ministry to your church. And that's hit me. And I am doing what I can to, you know, just be transformed where I've not always got that right. And I perhaps particularly want to say to any other dads here, you know, I think it's us perhaps who are more likely to need to hear this than others. Maybe that's something that we all need to hear and reflect on. What does that look like about not putting our work before everything else? And then, you know, as I continue to pray, that top word is the word that God gave me, Christ-like. And I just felt God say, you know, more than anything else, I want you to seek to be like Jesus. Because, you know, if we get that right, then I think everything else falls into place. You know, if we actually seek to be like Jesus, then, you know, we'll seek to have a good relationship with God and want to spend time like Jesus did in prayer and just encountering our Father God. We'll seek to have a character which shines out to others. We'll seek to act like Jesus would in different situations we face, and particularly in different difficult situations. And we'll be committed to seeking after God's purposes and God's vision and God's values, not our own. So they're my three values. And I've been encouraged by my coach to pray regularly, pray those in regularly, and to reflect on them. And I would really encourage you, you know, I've put those two questions at the end of the life group notes as an extra for this week that you can download from the mailing. I really encourage you to go and take some time out to ask those questions for yourself. Some of you might want to reduce 30 to a smaller number. It was about the right number for me. But actually, they're profound questions. And of course, I'd love to say I've got this all sorted now, and I'm now the perfect Christ-like husband and father and minister and brother, but that's rubbish. And I'm still massively a work in progress. But I know I'm a bit further along the line than I was in January. And I know God's been gradually transforming me. And as I've prayed this stuff every day for the last 5 months, I know God's at work in me and will continue to be at work in me. And so growing in Christ-likeness is, you know, what this series is all about. It's what we're focusing on over the whole of the next few weeks as we work through the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm just going to give an introduction to this series today. And as we start, I want to show you that in Scripture, that becoming more like Jesus is all over the place if we look at it in Scripture, because it's part of God's purpose for each and every one of us. So let's look at a few verses. Romans 8:29 says, "For God knew his people in advance, before we were even born, and he chose them," what? "To be like his son, to be like Jesus." In the past, God chose us to be like Jesus. There's the verse we've just had read in our reading, 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we who all with unveiled faces," that refers to Moses when he had a shining face coming down after receiving the Ten Commandments in Exodus 34, if you want to go and look it up, "are being transformed into his image," or into his likeness, "with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So we are created to be like Jesus in the past. We are being transformed in the present. And then 1 John 3:2 says, "We are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he," Christ, "is revealed, we will be like him." So there's an amazing promise that, you know, we might think we're such a work in progress and get it so wrong now. But the amazing hope and promise is that when we get to heaven, we're going to be like Jesus. And that we're going to be as God has always created us to be. Not exactly like him, but, you know, having his character. And I think that's an amazing hope and amazing promise. And I just want to just dwell on that middle one for now, because I've just been reflecting on this the last 24 hours. That phrase, "are being transformed," the original Greek word is metamorpho, which actually is where we get the word metamorphosis from. So a caterpillar turning into a butterfly metamorphosizes, is that the word? I don't know, into a butterfly. And actually that word is only found four times in Scripture. It's found here. It's found in Romans 12:2, which is where present your bodies as a living sacrifice, etc., and be transformed. And the other two times are actually the word for Jesus when he was transfigured, when he went up the mountain and shone with the glory of God. So that word really, that phrase really could be, "we are being transfigured into his likeness." We are being transfigured so that we shine more and more with God's glory. And I love that. I think that's a brilliant way of thinking about it. You think about, you go out there into the world and you're just like Moses when his face was shining after he met with God. When we go meet with God, you know, if we go out into the world with shining with God's glory, I think that's amazing. So I think that we are being transfigured. So we are created to be like Jesus. We were created to be like Jesus. We are being transformed. We will be like Jesus fully one day. Amazing promises there. But why is this important? Well, let's just take that example of the caterpillar transitioning to a butterfly. You know, I've put it this way, you know, God doesn't want us to stay as caterpillar Christians. He wants us to be transformed into butterfly Christians. You see, when we become Christians, it can be sometimes we can think, "I've made that commitment, I've said that prayer, I've got my ticket to heaven, I've made it, I've done it." But that's just the start of the journey, because God is in the transformation business. That's where we start, and the whole point is then we go on a journey of transformation until finally we get to heaven and be like Jesus. But Jesus wants to transform each and every one of us. He doesn't want to stay like we've always stayed before, always been before. He wants to transform us into something new, Christ-like, that new creation it talks about. And I don't know whether you spotted a word in both of the readings today. I didn't spot this until we read them on Thursday at midweek. There's the word freedom in both of the readings. The Spirit gives freedom. You know, what has a butterfly got that a caterpillar doesn't? It has freedom to fly. And I think there's something here about, you know, when we become more like Jesus, we find true freedom. We find life in all its fullness. We've suddenly become all who God's ever created us to be. We become the real us. So it's not just, oh, I've got to be love, joy, peace, patience. Actually, those things, developing those things, will make us be what God's always created us to be, will make us be us at our best. That's why we're called to be like Jesus and develop Christ-likeness. Sometimes that process can be hard, can't it? You know, at our life group on Thursday, we reflected on what John Fletcher said last week about order, disorder, reorder, found that really profound. And sometimes we go through those really difficult, tough times. I've been there. I was there in January. But it's through those tough times often that God transforms you into something new and does his deepest work in you. So let's be open to God's transformation in us. But it's not just about us. You know, when we become more like Jesus, we will point others to Jesus. We will be more better kingdom people, bringing God's kingdom in this world. Take that image of being transfigured and shining with the glory of Jesus. You know, actually, the more like Jesus we are, the more when we go out into the world, people will see us and think, what's special about you? I want something of that. And we can point them to Jesus. When we shine more of Jesus because we're transfigured to be more like Jesus, when we go out into the world, we'll make more of a difference in the world because we'll be bringing, you know, God's characteristics into the world and joining in more effectively with his mission. You know, Christ-likeness is important because we become more who we're meant to be, but also because it helps us make a bigger difference in the world and join in with what God is doing in his kingdom. You know, here's a phrase from John Stott. The guy who wrote the book that sort of accompanies the series was a great fan of John Stott, which is why we'll have a few John Stott quotes. But he said this: why is it that our evangelistic efforts are often fraught with failure? One reason is that we don't look like the Christ we proclaim. You know, take that positively. The more we look like the Christ we claim, the more effective evangelists and kingdom people will be. And when I look around this room, I see so many of you who are already living this out. Living out, you know, Jesus's love, loving like Jesus did, modeling grace to others like Jesus did, having compassion to the bereaved and the oppressed and the marginalized like Jesus did. And it's making a difference and it's changing our communities. And thank you for wanting to be more like Jesus in those ways. So finally, how do we do it? That's the story of the next few weeks. But I want to tell you a big secret today as we begin that journey. Let's see again what John Stott says. He says, I've spoken much about Christ-likeness, but how is it possible for us? In our own strength, it is clearly not. But God has given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill his purposes. You know, we can't do this on our own, folks. That's the bottom line. We can't do this on our own, but God can through his Holy Spirit in us. You know, I want to say this, you know, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the fruit of our hard work. It's allowing God's Spirit to do that deep work of transformation in us. And that's why, you know, one of the great ways of focusing on this is to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to do. It's not just about this, but this is such a big part of it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that we heard read. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control, which is missed off there. They're those things which the Spirit grows in us if we're open and if we allow the Spirit to do his work. They're the characteristics of God. You know, if we think back to that series, sermon series that we did right at the start of September, we picked on that verse, Exodus 34, verse 6, didn't we? The Lord, who can remember it? The Lord, the gracious and compassionate one, slow to anger and rich and abounding in love and faithfulness. So much of that is there, isn't it? You know, we looked at the character of God. That's the character of God. And now we're saying, what does it look like for us to live that out? And fruit doesn't just appear, does it? We don't just plant a seed in the ground and go the next day and find the fruit there. I wish. That would make gardening so much easier, wouldn't it? But actually, we plant the seed and then it grows into the plant, it grows into the tree, which could take many years. And then spring comes and the bud comes. And then the flower comes. And then it's pollinated. And then the fruit begins to grow. You know, that growing fruit is a long process. It's a lifetime's work in all of us. We are all, and I certainly am, works in progress. And God wants to keep growing us, keep transfiguring us, keep transforming us. The work of the Spirit, you know, the growing that stuff in us is the work of the Spirit. That's God's work. We can't make that happen. But what we can happen, I think, is we can actually cultivate the soil. We can create the right environment for that tree and that fruit to grow. If a tree has a fruit tree doesn't have good soil, it won't bear fruit. If our lives aren't planted in the good soil, they're not going to bear fruits. And I think the soil is our part. So just as I close, four very quick things of what I think we can do. Firstly, it is soaking ourselves in Scripture. You know, just like a tree needs to soak itself in water to grow, we need to soak ourselves in Scripture. Why? Because if we want to be like God, if we want to be like Jesus, have the characteristics of God, then we need to see what they are. And how do we see what they are? We look in all God's words and we dwell in God's word to see how did Jesus react in that situation? How can we react in these similar situations? Soaking ourselves in Scripture every day will make us open to growing that fruit. Secondly, I think it's about daily rhythms of prayer and encountering God and being open to God's Spirit. I don't know how many of you used the Lent daily prayer, but if no one did, and I did it just for myself, it was worth it because I found this profound to do. And I found it a great place to open myself every morning to God's Spirit transforming me and being at work. And the really interesting thing was, I think there were 2 days which I didn't do it in the whole of Lent and then the week after Easter. And those 2 days I didn't do it were the 2 days I most messed up and I most got things wrong. Now, that could just be a coincidence. Or maybe actually if I'd done it those mornings, I might have reacted differently those days and saved a lot of pain and hurt and disappointment and sadness. You see, when we do just take time to dwell in prayer and allow God's Spirit to be at work in us, that's when we have a soil which is cultivated enough for this fruit to grow in us. And, you know, if you do nothing else in the next few weeks, you know, what I've done here is I've created a card with this prayer on the back, which was the final prayer of that daily prayer. Another prayer by John Stott, another plug. I think this is a great prayer to pray. This is a prayer that he prayed every day. And I encourage each one of us to take this prayer, and if we do nothing else, pray this every morning. Just praying for God to be at work through his Spirit in us. Thirdly, it's about spurring one another on in community. I love my men's life group. I'm going to give another plug for them today, and several of them are here. You know, they are just brilliant. And those Thursday mornings, I take off my, well, metaphorically, I can take off my dog collar. And I can just be one of them. And they can encourage me and we can chat about how tough it is being a dad and balancing work and family and all that sort of stuff. And be really honest and vulnerable with each other. And we can encourage each other. We can speak God's truth to each other. We can pray for each other. We can spur one another on. You know, that's the soil that we need to cultivate if we're going to grow the fruit. We're not supposed to do it on our own. We're supposed to do it in community. If you're not in a life group, then please talk to Val or myself afterwards. We'll connect you up. Or if actually a prayer triplet or a prayer partner works better, do that. Whatever it works for you. But find someone that you can journey with and be honest with and who can spur you on and do this journey together with. And finally, I think it's about making active choices to imitate what Jesus did. You know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, I was praying this morning about a particular situation and I just thought about this. I thought, I'm preaching it later, I better do it. And I thought, what would Jesus do in this situation? And, you know, just God put on my heart what Jesus would do in this situation. It's not particularly what I want to do, but it's what's right to do. And we, a part of it is us deciding to make those active choices to say, this is what Jesus would do in this situation. He would show amazing love, amazing grace, amazing forgiveness. And so we make that choice to follow that path and ask God to help us and strengthen us to do that and to follow that way. You know, let's be people who constantly are thinking that in the difficult situations we face. WWJD, what would Jesus do if he was us? Out in our workplaces, out in our families, in our neighborhoods. Let's be committed to following those ways. There are four things. That's our part. But more than anything, we pray. We pray, God, would you fill us with your spirit? Would you grow your fruit in us by your spirit? Would you transform us? Would you transfigure us to shine more for Jesus in the places you've called us to be? I'd love just to invite you to get your cards. If you've got your cards now, I'll go back to this. And I'm going to just invite us to say this prayer and then to pause. And when we've said this prayer and when we pause, I want you to pray and ask God to show you one fruit that he particularly wants to grow in you at the moment, that you know you need to grow in at the moment. And just pray for one particularly, and just pray, to commit to praying for that every day this week, and pray now. And we pray that God would supernaturally transform us. But we do our bit as well. But we pray supernaturally transformed. Maybe there are some here who life is really tough about. And actually what you need to do is you need to pray that God would grow peace in you. And by his spirit, he'd give you his peace. Maybe some of us are struggling to love others at the moment. And actually maybe we know that we need to pray that God would give us his love to love those people. Maybe some of us are struggling with temptation at the moment. And we know that actually if it's just down to us, we'd follow the way of the flesh as we talked about in that reading. But actually, God wants to say, no, go Jesus' way. Go the way of the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you. And we need to pray that God would fill us with self-control to choose Jesus' way. So let's just invite you to say this prayer with me, and then we'll have a moment of silence. And then we'll invite the band to come back up, and we'll have a time where we can have some ministry if people want it. But let's say this prayer first. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. So let's be still and pray for God to give us one fruit, particularly to grow one fruit, particularly in us this day, right now. Let's stand, shall we? And I just invite you, perhaps the band could come up. And I just invite you to perhaps hold out your hands just as to receive, you know, to receive what God wants to give to you. And I'm going to pray and we're going to sing our last song, which is about the Holy Spirit just being at work in us. And I want to just invite anyone who wants to just have someone, you know, be community with you, journey with you in this, to receive prayer, just to come forward. People who can pray for others do come forward and pray for others. But you know, if you just need someone else to pray with you about this stuff, what God's revealed, then do. But Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come and give us and grow us this fruit in us? Would you transform each and every one of us to be more like you and to want to be more like you? That we might be transfigured to shine your glory to a broken world. We know we can't do it ourselves. We've got our responsibility, but we need you to transform our hearts deeply. Come now and transform us by your Spirit.
Change us to be more like you, we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing. If you would like to receive prayer, then just come forward. Someone would love to pray for you. If you want to just stay in that place of prayer and just continue with God and tell God what you want to do, then do. But just allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in you.
Thank you.
have a final prayer of blessing now. So if you, we're going to have a final prayer of blessing now. So if you have children to meet up with, then do feel free to go. But if you want to stay, carry on sitting here in this place of the presence of God in a mighty way this morning, then do please feel free just to stay on and to come for prayer if that would help. A blessing as we go. Day by day, dear Lord, grant us to know you more clearly, to follow you more nearly, and to love you more dearly each and every day. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us and those whom we love, today and forevermore. Amen.
Can I say one more thing, and that is, you know, just sense of God. Sometimes when God convicts us, you know, the enemy will try and pour condemnation on us and make us live in that place of guilt, and that's not freedom. You know, when God convicts, he wants to take us to a new place. So I just sense some people here need to know that, you know, we have got it wrong. You know, we have done things which we just are ashamed of and don't want to think that that was us, because we know that they upset others and upset God. But, you know, when God looks at us, when we've been forgiven, he just stands there with his arms open wide and says, I don't condemn you. Come into my loving arms, and I want to forgive, and I want to restore, and I want to transform. So if we're feeling condemnation today, that's of the enemy. Jesus wants to say, come and be transformed. Come and receive my forgiveness. Come and actually let me shape you into something new and what you've always been made to be for. So just if that resonates with you too, you know, just get someone to pray for you or just offer it yourself to God. But don't leave here feeling condemned. Leave here excited that God's in the process of making you, and one day you will be like Jesus.
Spirit.